All right, big Friday, happy hour. That's gorgeous again. Not as warm as it's been, but that will not matter. The women's Little 500 is going on as we speak. The men's race is tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Very similar forecast, but if it's this nice and sunny, that's probably good for the riders. Our expert Little 500 rider, former rider, and current coach is Zach Osterman from the Indy Star. You do everything, buddy. How are you today?
I guess so, this time of year.
It is busy, but you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And we'll get to the Little Five here in a minute. But yesterday, last night, the weather avoided the Memorial Stadium. And Kurt Cignetti in Indiana football put on their final, first audition for a lot of us, and then final practice of the spring season with the IU spring football game. And, emotional ending to the game last night, which I think was great to see how they see things as a staff. But we had some football to talk about as well. And a couple of quarters, a couple of strings of players seen on the field. What stood out to you, my great friend, as Kurt Cignetti wraps up his first spring with IU football?
Yeah, I mean, it's a spring game. You never want to go too crazy with it. I think there were some interesting moments. I think you could certainly see some areas that clearly have Kurt Cignetti's attention in terms of needing improvement. You kind of knew the offense and the defense were approaching this from two pretty distinct positions. The offense, you know, trying to sort of work through depth and options and things, and the defense, you know, just kind of trying to plug some holes and figure out where it maybe can find a little bit of reinforcement before the summer sort of window arrives and you got to start pulling the team together in a proper way for the season. So without wanting to draw too many conclusions, it was, you know, it was an interesting night and, you know, kind of one of those things. It's just kind of one of those important steps along the way. And now we see what Kurt Cignetti might add here in the next maybe few weeks, I guess.
With these next few weeks, it's not going to be major overhauls. It's just going to be pieces to complete the puzzle. That would be, I guess, the angle. Now, when does football's window stay open?
I know it's open. Okay, it's open now, and I forget exactly when it closes. But I mean, you know, I mean, I think Indiana's going to have visitors on campus like this weekend. You know, and I mean, it's not like last night will have been the first time Cignetti noticed areas he might need to improve or shore up. You know, I think he's probably got a pretty clear-eyed sense of what his roster has, what his roster needs. That doesn't mean he's going to get all of it. You know, it rarely works that way. I do think Indiana's got a little bit more kind of NIL to play with. Like, I don't know that he's drained the entire the coffers completely there. So you may be able to be aggressive with a couple guys that are, you know, stepping out from where they were before. But I mean, it's, you know, basketball portal is getting more attention right now because it's, you know, it's the immediate aftermath of basketball season. You know, I know the spring portal window is going to be busier than normal for football, but the spring portal window for basketball is essentially the basketball version of the winter portal window for football. This is when everybody's moving in hoops. So it's getting more attention right now, but you know, football is ongoing. It's rolling through behind the scenes, and it's, you know, Indiana's going to have to go in with both feet here pretty much starting now, if not really. I mean, I think they already took one transfer this cycle, so really starting, you know, days ago.
But it never ends, and we hang on with both hands and are happy our great friend Zach Osterman from theindystar.com can keep us in between those yellow lines as we navigate the portals of portals on top of portals. And as the game went on the field last night, I know there were some things you told us yesterday you were keeping your eye on. Obviously, the quarterback to the fans is probably the biggest deal, the most identifiable position. But you saw a very large running back room get some reps. You saw the wide receiver group have targets thrown their way. And, Curtis Rourke was the first man to take snaps, but Taven Jackson looked like he'd picked up some things during the spring. It was interesting, though, to hear Coach Cignetti's comments after inquiring whether it was the quarterback's acumen or the second team defense. What did you make of the offense that you saw on the field last night?
Yeah, I mean, it probably was a little bit of both. And I, you know, for me, a lot of it started with offensive line play. I thought the line looked good first and second team. Again, though, you know, that's going up against a defensive line that's probably as depleted right now by, you know, the spring injuries that we talk about where guys, you know, get an off-season surgery, and that means they're not going to do anything in the spring. And usually those are the players that are experienced enough that you don't feel like they're going to miss much if they have to sit out for the spring. You know, so that offensive line was going up against probably the, you know, just pound for pound, the weakest position group at the moment. They'll get some guys back. I also expect defensive line to be one of the areas that gets a lot of attention from Kurt Cignetti and his staff here in the spring portal window. But I just think that, you know, if you do believe in, and I think Kurt Cignetti does, the improvement that he's seen along that offensive line, how it's gelled, some of the depth maybe that Indiana's been able to build. Not that it's the finished article, but, you know, that makes everything else, as we've discussed, you know, kind of in the other direction for what Indiana struggled with the last few years, that makes everything else run a lot smoother. Your running backs look better when they're getting a good offensive line blocking in front of them. Your quarterbacks look better. You know, everything just kind of makes more sense. And I thought the offensive line had some good moments. Well, you know, some moments, too, where it was struggling with some things. You got the sense that maybe Bryant Haynes threw a little bit more creativity and blitz packages and things like that at them than what they'd seen previously in the spring. I think that's probably a little bit by design of Indiana, knowing it's going to have to be creative to try and create some disruption and try and create some havoc plays on defense with what it's got right now. But overall, I thought the line looked good, and I thought that gave a lot of guys, not least the ones you mentioned, the platform to have some, you know, some good moments across, I guess you'd say, both halves, both quarters. I don't know exactly how we're describing it, but, you know, across the time they got on the field.
Zach Osterman from the Indy Star checking in. Does that help the running backs look better, as you mentioned, or is there talent in that room? Well, we know there's been a ton of carries brought with them. Again, this hasn't been a function of Indiana since Stevie Scott left, where we've had a guys back there that have shouldered a load in college football before. How important do you think that experience is with the line's development? You got to control the clock a little bit in the Big Ten. You just can't throw it 65 times. That's a big deal next year.
No, I agree with that. And I think one thing that Cignetti said, that I think probably was kind of one of those things that maybe you don't notice as much when you're not keeping stats and you're not quite so emotionally invested and it all feels a little bit more laid back. But he said he felt like when they ran the ball was moving forward. And, you know, that how many times in the last couple of years have we talked about, you know, Indiana's ground game? It's not even been about the explosive plays or lack thereof. It's been about, you know, not being able to get 4 yards on first down, 4 yards on second down, not getting yourself into second and manageable, third and short, but, you know, constantly just kind of, you're looking at second and long, you're swimming upstream, your playbook is constantly being limited by what you're not able to do, what you're not able to free up, and so forth. I thought that you saw running backs that had some pop to them, you know, and there were a couple times where guys got to the second level or guys got to the outside on a seal and, you know, really kind of took off. But I also thought you saw, you know, guys that were really just kind of you know, I don't know what the word would be, guys that were, you know, I guess the phrase is running downhill, but I thought that they were delivering a lot of attention last night. Justice Ellison had some good moments. I thought Tyson Lawton, the JMU transfer, had some good moments. Just the idea that when Indiana was running the ball, it was running it with force. And you know, it was getting into a place where, you know, first and 10 was becoming second and six, which was then becoming third and three. Now, again, you know, you're asking what's that against, what can be better, you know, when you're facing teams that maybe aren't so shorthanded along that defensive line, what might look a little different. But, you know, it's a spring game. All you can do is you know, play as well as you can on the night. And I thought that running back rotation had some really good moments.
And that's the point. You can only do what you can do. If the offense is great, that means the defense stunk. If the defense was great, that means the offense wasn't very good. So, yeah, we have to get all that. And it was just nice to see it out in front of everybody so fans could get behind this team. The fans have gotten behind the hire, but springtime's not a lot of time where you can sink your teeth into it, get a lot of tape, and go back and rewind and see what else is going on. Donovan McCulley was called out by name earlier in spring practice about needing to probably, I don't want to say get his act together. That's too harsh and not like you try not to do. I don't want to put any words in anybody's mouth. But Kurt Cignetti wanted more from him, and you saw why he wants more from him, because that athletic frame and feature, which we've seen glimpses of over the last year or so, was on full display last night. McCulley's going to be a huge piece of this offense. That what do they call that? Target radius or catch radius or whatever it is. He's got one of them. Makes it easier for his quarterbacks as well.
Yeah, I think. I mean, you get a sense. Listen, it. I think Kurt Cignetti was sincere in what he said when he said we need more from Donovan McCulley. But then he also kind of added some depth to that last night when he said, I don't do that very often. I don't call players out like that very often. He said the last time he did it was last season with our quarterback. I assume he was talking about Jordan McLeod, who wound up being Sun Belt Offensive Player of the Year. He kind of did it to light a little bit of a fire with him. And McLeod wound up having, a fantastic season. The point I made in what I wrote after the game last night was, if coaches really don't play that card very often, they certainly don't play it for guys they don't think are worth it. That they certainly don't play it for guys that they don't think are, either maybe A, to some extent, capable of responding, if you sort of understand what I'm saying. Like, that you're not going to challenge a guy if you just don't think he has a level to go up. And you're also not going to challenge a guy if, you just don't think he'll respond. And, coaches tend to give that kind of treatment to the players that they expect the most from, that they hold to the highest standard, and that they think can be among their best. And I think, McCulley certainly fits all three of those categories for Indiana. You saw again last night, some of the same, level that we've seen from him in particularly, I think, the back half of last season, but at different times since he moved to receiver a couple years ago. And I'm not saying he's, going to be a superstar and Cignetti's just yanking his chain to keep him humble or anything like that. I think Cignetti was sincere in saying, I need more from this guy. But I think part of the reason he needs more from Donovan McCulley is because he knows there's more for McCulley to give. And that if he can pull that out of McCulley, he's going to have, quite possibly one of the best receivers in the Big Ten. So, it was kind of one of those where he softened his language a little bit from what he said the other day last night. And he said, I can even find the quote while we're talking here. I've got it on my computer. He said, everybody's got to improve. I know what his goals are, to be a great player. And it starts with the way you practice, your attention to detail, how you study off the field, how you prepare. Those are some of the areas he's got to improve in. So I don't think this is just lip service. I don't think this is just Cignetti, sort of making an example of somebody he thinks can take it. But I think it is, to the same extent, a bit of an acknowledgement that, a coach is only going to do this with a player that he thinks genuinely has the level to go up that is worth, pulling maybe the ripcord that you wouldn't most of the time with the way he talks about his players publicly. So I think that, it gives you a little window into what Cignetti thinks McCulley can be, and maybe last night was a little bit of it.
And the other part of that, didn't he also make similar comments about quarterback Taven Jackson at one point in spring training or spring camp?
Yeah, and listen, sometimes you're probably just saying it because you need to say it. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you're probably just saying it because that's how you see it.
Would you categorize Jackson in that same category as McCulley, as expected to take it and wants him to get better? Because you heard last night, Cignetti said the quarterback room is going to have competition leading into fall camp.
Yeah, and, Jackson played well last night. Even his interception was a poorly thrown ball on a good read, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you
know,
the receiver was open, the pocket was there. He just threw it a half beat too late, and it came in behind the receiver. If the safety doesn't jump that route, the receiver might still catch it behind him. So it wasn't the worst throw in the world, but it wasn't one. You know, he didn't make a terrible read or sail a throw or anything like that. And he had a couple touchdown drives. He had a couple really nice passes. You know, that was where Cignetti was like, hey, you know, I saw a freshman corner kind of get abused there. Most teams aren't going to be starting freshman corners, so the challenge is a little bit different. And Jackson spent a lot of his time, obviously, against the number two defense. But still, you know, listen, it's you can only kind of do what you can do, if you understand what I'm saying. I mean, that, I know it sounds simplistic, but there is an extent to which in a sport where coaches just relentlessly say, put it on film, put it on film, put it on film, all you can do is put it on film. And Indiana did that, and Taven Jackson did that. And I think it's possible he gave his coaches a little something extra to think about as they sort of maybe take what they see in spring and use it to start building their plans for the preseason.
Zach Osterman, Indy Star, joining us, recapping the IU spring game from last night, the final practice of the Indiana football spring season. They'll be back with camp in early August. And, the other thing that was very interesting to learn during that game last night, and I don't know how this ties into everything or what the greater point is, that's why I have you here today to make heads or tails. This was the first time the defense participated in live tackling all spring. Is that a normal concept, or is that something that Kurt Cignetti has found success with in the past and is trying to make it translate here at the Big Ten level? How does that work, buddy?
So I guess he said that he did this his last season at James Madison as well. It is something more broadly, like live tackling is just being done a lot less, you know, across college football than it used to be.
Do we mean live tackling by you're tackling the opponent? We're doing tackling drills, like with dummies and stuff like that, and technique stuff,
but just not physically hitting. Primarily like scrimmage situations, you'll do what's called thudding up, which is basically you're allowed to hit, but you don't drive through and tackle.
Okay.
So it
injury prevention. Why are we doing this?
Yeah. Moved away from it for health and safety purposes. Essentially feeling like they it's more important to hold that safety close, or that health close, rather than, you know, hit and scrap and you know, risk somebody breaking something or tearing something or you know, whatever. I don't know. So I think that, I mean, first of all, again, it's something Cignetti said he's done before. I don't think this was something where he looked around and said, boy, we just can't tackle. You know, this, it's not safe for this team to tackle in the preseason. I think it's something he's done before and something he may well do again. You know, the drawbacks are obvious, but you're constantly, frankly, just kind of looking for the intersection of what, you know, this is one of those things where, like, there's no clear right or wrong answer. You know, you're just constantly sort of searching for basically the best balance for you at any given time, and this is what he has settled on.
Well, and the first comment of his post game was no one got hurt, so that has a big deal to do with with all of that. The last thing you want to do is get to the finish line and have two or three or four more guys, what doesn't matter what side of the ball, go down and have to deal with that heading into fall camp. Aiden Fisher seemed to be the star of the defense. Tell me what you like about the transfer linebacker.
Yeah, I like Cignetti's quote that Bryant Haynes sleeps a lot better. I think, what did he say? Bryant Haynes sleeps a lot better because Aiden Fisher's, you know, basically in the room.
Yep.
You need that. I mean, this defense is going to be shorthanded this year. Like, they're going to be young in some spots. There's been a real brain drain at linebacker. I think that's why you've seen, you know, Indiana be so aggressive about Aiden Fisher and, you know, not Kamara, but Jalen Walker, the other JMU linebacker, and you know, bringing in McDonald from, was it Troy? It wasn't South Alabama. It was Troy. You know, the point is there's a lot of needs on this defense remaining, whether that's needs in terms of needing to go out and get a guy or a couple guys or three guys, or it's needs in terms of, you know, looking at, you know, a young linebacker like Caden Turner or Isaiah Jones, or looking at even, you know, an experienced player, but somebody who's playing a brand new position like Jacob Mangum-Ferrara, saying, hey, we need you to grow up fast. You know, we can't afford for you to, you know, to have a whole bunch of, you know, to have a really long sort of development, you know, process here or whatever. Like, we need you to kind of, you know, flatten the learning curve pretty quickly. And when that's the case, having somebody who knows your calls, who knows your tendencies, you know, Fisher even said something last night, like, basically, you know, there was a point last season where, you know, Coach Haynes and I found ourselves, like, you know, basically suggesting the same play calls in certain situations. Somebody that's on that wavelength with you is just really, in addition to being a good football player, you know, he's from, I think, the Fredericksburg area of Virginia, Aiden Fisher. I have a buddy who lives out there who's really heavy into football recruiting. And he said Fisher was one of those guys that if COVID hadn't disrupted the back end of his recruiting process, he thought he would have gone somewhere a little bit more high profile even than James Madison. Obviously now he's there. He's, you know, he's here. He's in the Big Ten, and the challenge is going to be greater. But I think you can see both his individual talent as a player, and also it's clear he's a player the coaching staff, you know, really leans on a lot in that position, because, you know, frankly, there's an extent to which they probably need to.
Or when you talk about the flattening the learning curve and for some of these other guys, is that to suggest that, and this is usually the case with football, the freshman or the incoming class, you're not going to have guys to plug in and play that show up in August. You're just hoping to deal with the pieces you have, or, like you mentioned, pick it up in the portal window. Some fans have brought to my attention, hey, we've got a lot of guys from the Sun Belt. Is that something to be concerned about, or will they translate into Big Ten players in a Big Ten schedule?
Probably not all of them will. You know, just on the law of averages, you know, one or two at least will struggle. But, you know, it's sometimes it's not just your talent. It's also your makeup. It's, you know, it's your coaches feeling like they trust you, or the way you're going to be in the locker room or the weight room. You know, I mean, we've already heard Cignetti kind of talk about calling on some of his ex-JMU guys just to sort of be, not necessarily team captains, but players that could, you know, talk to their teammates and say, hey, this is, when the coaching staff says they want this, what they mean is this. Or, you know, the expectation when we do this is that it meets this standard and that kind of thing. Obviously, the Sun Belt is also going to be what this staff knows well, having spent the last 2 years there. And, you know, they're going to have done a lot of due diligence on these players already, just because they'll have needed to scout them and play against them. Again, that doesn't mean every one of these guys is going to be a star, but it at least maybe provides you a little bit of security and a little bit of comfort in knowing, you know, this is a guy that I know his strengths, I know his weaknesses. And then that goes back to something that you and I talked about yesterday, which is coaching isn't just about, you know, purely about talent or purely about X's and O's. Sometimes it's a lot of it really is understanding the happy medium between those two and saying, this is what a player's good at. These are his talents. These are his strengths. These are his weaknesses. How do we put him in a position to maximize the strengths and minimize the weaknesses? And that's, you know, that goes into, again, needing a comfort level with your players and a sense of understanding, you know, sort of their skill sets as much as you understand your philosophies, if that makes sense. And so you got all these guys from the Sun Belt that, you know, I think obviously James Madison's ex-coaches are going to feel like, hey, I know this guy. I can vouch for what he does well, and maybe I can scheme around what he doesn't. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. You know, Cignetti has said, you know, numerous times that when he goes into the portal, he prefers proven production over, you know, sort of star ranking or potential or whatever. And he's getting a lot of that with these guys that have come out of the Sun Belt, not just in terms of like the raw numbers, but also, frankly, the extent to which he is going to have a firsthand understanding of where all this comes from and you know what these guys' strengths are. And I guess we'll, you know, it's a cop-out answer, but I guess we'll find out if it works.
Zach Osterman, Indy Star, big weekend on the bike track as well. Tell me what's it, well, the women's race is going on as we speak. What's in store for the men tomorrow quickly so I can get you out of here, buddy?
Seems like we're going to have good weather. You know, you weren't sure when you saw the temperatures earlier in the week, but as long as the sun stays out, I think the track hopefully will be in good shape, having gotten some natural watering and a little bit of compression from the treatment. Obviously, hope everyone stays safe in the women's race. And then same for the men's race. I think, right now anyway, it seems like it's going to be near optimal racing conditions. And so, you know, we kind of start from that point, and then you hope that it's a race where everybody stays safe. And hopefully, it's the old line about football's a simple game. 22 men play for 90 minutes and then the Germans win. Hopefully a little five's a simple game. 33 teams race for 2.5 hours and then five side wins.
And the Germans win in penalties. That's how that joke goes. Get that.
Five can win however you want. I don't care.
Get that. Well, that's how the joke goes. They win in penalties. That's how the old joke was. Best of luck with your racing this weekend. Good luck to the five side and everybody else. The cooler weather is not really cooler. It's just not as warm as it has been. That's the better way to look at it. Great for spectators, great for bike riding, and we hope everybody has a safe and successful weekend. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. We'll get the results of the race. We'll see how the transfer portal is cooking. We talked about that yesterday. You can go back to WGCLradio.com and listen to our Hoops Talk from Thursday. Thanks, buddy. We will talk to you next week. Have a fantastic weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Glass.
That's Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star. Support local journalism. We beg you every time to do so, so we can tell the great stories of what's happening here to our favorite teams and favorite athletes. And Zach checks in with us every Thursday and Friday to make that happen. All right, time to get you over to Tommy Thrall and Reds baseball. The Kings of the Ohio are home after a 6-game road trip, which they split 3-3, won their first three in Chicago, lost their last three in Seattle. Hopefully their health issues are getting ready to go, and that's going to move to the rear view mirror. And tonight, first of three with Mike Trout and the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim before Philadelphia. Kyle Schwarber and his buddies from the Phillies come in for four next week. Taking the ball tonight will be Nick Lodolo, who is absolutely outstanding against the White Sox. Now we're asking him to do it against the Angels. All right, Tommy Thrall's coverage, our coverage, his broadcast begins at 6:10. Have a fantastic Friday night. The Crazy Tours Tavern Happy Hour is over.